Good evening, you radiant beings.
Good evening.
I would like to ask a question. Why is it continuing to rain, and I would like it to be using this teaching for the answer?
Because it's not the Rose Bowl.
It has something to do with the Rose Bowl. Instead of using the world's idea why it's raining, why do we know why it's raining?
Because we all want to break the record.
Absolutely. She hit it on the head.
Break what record?
The rain record.
Rain record. We're
going to
do it tonight.
You hear that on the television, we're going to break the record. You talk to somebody, and everyone you talk to says, we're going to break the record. When we get into competition like that, when we get into breaking something like that, we're going to do it. Because the consciousness is there. And that's what it is. And everyone says, well, it doesn't rain at this time of year. It doesn't rain at this time of year. But we want to break the record. Because it would do 100 years. It would break a 100-year record. Yeah. Do you see how good she is? And she doesn't even come half the time. But anyway, I'm just bringing that up to think of the, instead of just letting it go and think, oh, that's it's raining or that big thing's coming across, whatever, the storm across the ocean and all. We have to learn to take responsibility for everything. Mm-hmm. You have to know that you're causing everything. Mm-hmm. Why do we have to know that? I'll tell you. Because you cannot make the statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, and not take responsibility for everything. See? So the storm is coming and we'll beat the record because we want that. That's in what's called race mind, R-A-C-E, race mind, or the collective consciousness. The same way that it doesn't rain on the Rose Bowl parade, because people do not want it to rain. It'll rain before, it'll rain after, but it always has cleared up for the parade. Because all those people on those bleachers are saying, no rain. That's the mind. That's the way the mind works. Okay? Do you understand that? I mean, does it? Can you understand?
It rained the entire week before the Rose Bowl, skipped a day, rained the entire week after the Rose Bowl.
Always this. Look, I'm getting my hair standing up. That happens when I hear something that's true. So anyway, think of those things, because that's what this teaching is all about, and that's what I'm here for, to teach you to learn to think differently and not to take these things for granted. To know why this is happening to you and not use what the news tells you or what the world's telling you out there. There's always a deeper meaning to everything. And that's what we're going for here. And that's how you can change your life once you realize that there is a meaning there.
What about people like me who don't even know when the Rose Bowl is or didn't even realize there was a record? This is the first time I've ever heard of this and thought of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, because I'll tell you how that works. And now, Joe, I may have these figures wrong, and I don't know how anyone figures this out, but it only takes one consciousness to change 1,000. And if you have 1,000 people, it does like 2 million, and that's how this whole thing operates. Because we're never going to get everyone thinking, but good things that you put out will neutralize that much negativity, you see. So that's why, another reason why you want to think good, because the power that you have by thinking good and doing those things is you keep a balance in this world. You see, you keep it balanced and you can take the negativity out. You see, it doesn't take every mind to change to take the negativity away. It's the 100th monkey theory. But they have figures. I could get those figures for you. But don't ask me how they figure that out. I don't know. But they have the figures for that. So, anyway, with that said, let's start as we always do, the spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to align ourselves with the only mind there is, the mind of God. We are going to say something good about ourselves. I will do this in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. There is only good in this world, and I am part of that good. And I use that good, and I use that knowledge of that good to draw into my life what I want. And what I want is only good. And I want also abundance, prosperity, and money. And I allow that to happen to me right here and right now. And so it is.
So it is.
How many people are still doing their affirmations? Good. Please do your affirmations. I had two clients this week at home. One, I gave an affirmation to because the child wanted to succeed. And he wanted to succeed in the business that he's in. And I gave him an affirmation, I am a winner. So last week when he came, I said to him, are you using that affirmation? He said, what affirmation? Oh, I completely forgot to use that affirmation. Last night I had a client, and she said to me, oh, am I supposed to be using those? I don't know how. If you went to a doctor and he gave you a prescription for medicine, you would take it. Affirmations are the exact same thing, people. Affirmations are just like medicine.
But not everyone takes the medicine. They take the prescription.
Yeah, not the medicine.
They don't take the medicine.
Right. But learn to do your affirmations if you're not, because they will absolutely work. You had just a slight one, you told me, just looking at, and you weren't going to do it, but you kept looking.
Yeah.
And what did you do? She manifested a husband.
That
they're
was
very
from Rhoda. Rhoda, right? The affirmation on finding the perfect mate that you gave to me a while ago.
So you see, they are powerful, and they absolutely do work, so use them. You'll be surprised, because that's just changing your mind. Then last week we had questions and answers, and Jeff brought up something about the iguana and closing one eye and so forth. And while I was thinking about that during the week and all, and I don't know how many people remember from the Bible, it always says you must keep and have the single eye. You must have the
single.
Pardon? Yes, you must have the single eye. Now, for the people who weren't here, I was telling the story about a garden on this side and rubbish on that side. You have a choice to close that eye and look this way. He has an iguana, or had. You still have it?
No,
poor thing. What did you do to him? Thanksgiving, I suppose.
Never good eating.
His iguana, when he would see danger come up, he would just close the one eye so he couldn't see and look where he wanted to. Mm. You see? And that's what we must do. Also with that keep the single eye means to be focused on something. Means to be looking exactly at what you want. And that's how you make a manifestation in your life. By keeping focused on that. By keeping the single eye. But we don't do that, do we? We take it off and on and on, off and off and on. How many people are still doing the mental equivalent? You remember the camera?
Yes, but
not. If you're taking a still thing with the aperture open, and you keep moving it.
You get blurred.
You get a blurred picture. And if you keep changing your mind and looking here and there and everywhere instead of keeping the single eye, all you're going to do is get the blur. Okay?
For the last week, I've been reading Louise Hay.
Oh, I love Louise Hay. She's very good. So anyway, then during the last, this tonight we're going to talk about the law of attraction. And we're going to talk about it because Casey would like to hear that. So I have to, since he came, since he showed up, I have to talk about the law of attraction. But I want to go back a moment to, well, maybe I can add this on. Okay. So there is such a thing in the universe called the law of attraction. There are many laws in the universe. The law of attraction is one of them. We also have the law of repulsion. So, but these are all, you have to remember that all these laws are umbrellaed under the law of love. The law of love supersedes everything. So if you can keep that idea of love going, the law of attraction will work for itself. Now, all the laws that we talk about in the universe, and we can talk about the ones that we know also, like gravity. We cannot see gravity, but we know that's there. We cannot see the law of attraction, but we know it's there. Gravity and the law of attraction are what's called immutable laws, meaning they never change. They always stay the same, and they always act exactly the same for anyone that's using them. You see, the laws do not show favorites. If you think somebody is doing better using it, it's because they know how to use it better. But you can learn how to use it better also. So since the law of attraction is only mentioned in metaphysical books, it's very mystical and very magical. People think, oh, we never heard that in school, we never heard that in college. That does not mean that it doesn't exist. Now, to find out how these things exist is to look at our language. You know, we have things already in our language. It tells us this. We have the expression, like attracts like. We have the expression, birds of a feather flock together. So we know on a certain level that these laws are there. And these little old expressions are not maybe used as much today, but years ago they were used all the time. People knew more then. You know what I'm saying? They knew more about the law and about attraction and so forth. Hey, back from Italy. Isn't that lovely? So, the law of attraction is a very easy thing. It does exactly what it says it does. It's the law of attraction. It attracts things to you. Like always attracts like. So, how do we use the law of attraction? How do we connect with the law of attraction? How do we live in the law of attraction? You know, we're always living in the law of gravity, right? We're always walking around in the law of gravity. So we can walk around in the law of attraction. To do that, you must change your mental attitude. You must change your thoughts about things. If you want something to be attracted into your life, you must start thinking about it. And you must start feeling it. And you must start acting as though you already have it. And that will immediately attract that to you. Immediately attract that to you. How did you get your commercial?
Did I get my commercial? I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Well, you attracted a commercial to you. You must have done something mentally to attract that. And if you say you didn't, you're wrong.
No, I did. It's like I've been building my wealth consciousness, and I've been building my desire and passion for it. And I booked a commercial, and then I went to make it, and they gave me a second commercial out of it. So.
Yes. Which is the whole idea of more keys. Mm-hmm. You say you cannot expect it. Oh, I'm going up there to do one commercial. You see, you must leave yourself open. You two did something, didn't you? You must leave yourself open to get 2, 3, 4 out of it. You see. Now, what did he say that made the most sense about the law of attraction?
That it brings attractive things.
Yeah. He used the word a wealth consciousness. And that's what you want to think about is wealth, and you want to develop a wealth consciousness. If you have a wealth consciousness and you start acting as if that were true and feeling that, it has to manifest. It will be attracted to you. But you're the one that's doing that attraction. Everything we do starts with us. It has nothing to do with the outside world whatsoever. But we take the responsibility for our thinking. And we take that responsibility, by the way, without any shame, guilt, or any of that stuff. Responsibility doesn't mean this great big heavy thing. It just means, oh, I'm thinking that, and I'm responsible for thinking that. And if I get what I want from thinking that, I'll keep it. If I don't, I'll change my mind and think about something else that I want. That's all this is. What does Emmett Fox say in the mental equivalent?
You have to feel it.
Yes, but what does he always say? We must remember that this
is a mental world.
That this is a mental world. And we get into trouble because we think it's a material world, or we think it's a physical world. The material world and the physical world will never give you the complete picture of anything. It will never give you the complete truth of anything. It cannot do that. We have been taught to use our 5 senses. These 5 senses are only done on what? Our 5 senses, taste, smell, sight,
touch,
hearing, and touch.
On the physical.
And they're only on the physical. So you cannot use the 5 senses to get what you want from the universe, because the universe is not physical. So you have to use feeling. You have to use thought. You have to use your creativity. You have to use your imagination. But you cannot use your 5 senses. By the way, we have many senses that are not, that we don't talk about. We are becoming, as a race, moldy, sensory human beings. We are developing all the time. More and more senses. We have the sense which we call intuition, which most of us don't use because we're not taught how to use that. But everyone has that intuition. So what we want to do with this law of attraction is use our other senses or use our feelings and thoughts and so forth to attract things. But you cannot use the 5 senses to get that. You see? Does that make sense to you? Because you're still on the physical plane. Now, we're always going to be on the physical plane while we're in these physical bodies. But that does not mean that the other planes of consciousness are not available to us. They're always available to us. And we use the term rising up in consciousness, being to a higher consciousness. so that we see things differently. You rose up in a higher consciousness when you realized that what you were saying about the baseball player, oh, this doesn't feel quite right. You had moved up. You see, that's all that is moving up. As soon as you notice what you're doing, and as soon as you say, well, this doesn't seem quite right to me, my thinking, you're starting to move up in consciousness. There's no big mystery about it, and it's not coming in. And there's no, it's not a specialized thing that only some people have, like gurus and those type of people. Each and every one of us can do it, but we're not taught to do it. You see. And what do we always fall for when we're here? We fall for the world. We always fall for the world because it's so damn convincing. And we cannot do that. One of the master teachers, Jesus, said, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You have to learn how to overcome the world. You have to be able to be in this world, but not of this world. And it's easy. You can see yourself doing that many times. You just don't notice. So learn to notice that. And this law of attraction will attract that to you. Will attract that to you. Okay? How many people, when they do their mental work, I'll call it, or spiritual mind treatment and so forth, are thinking from what we call the higher self? Or are you? You are, yes. Most people are thinking from their ego self. So you must learn to switch over, and that's all that is switching over from the ego mind to your higher self, and then do a treatment or an affirmation from the higher self.
How do we distinguish the difference?
The ego always wants and needs. And as soon as you start to say, I need this, I want this, I don't have this, I don't feel complete, I'm sick, I'm blah, 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 I need a healing. You're using the ego mind.
The higher self
is what? The higher self absolutely knows that everything is whole, complete, and perfect, and is already done. Is already here. So you do a treatment to align yourself with that so that you know that you have everything, that everything is given to you, that you're not asking, begging, pleading, or anything out of want. You cannot want people. As soon as you want, it's the ego mind telling you that you're not whole, complete, and perfect. You have to remember always that you're whole, complete, and perfect. So when you sit down to do any mental work, remind yourself of that first. And then just tell yourself, I'm using my higher self for this treatment, for this affirmation. I'm using my higher self to get the job, to book this, to do that, not the ego mind. And eventually, the ego mind will settle itself down. You'll never be able to get rid of that part of you. But you will be able to understand it, and it won't nag at you like it does now. And all that mental chatter will start to dissolve. And that's where peace of mind comes in. Remember when they used to say, the peace of mind which passeth all understanding? You cannot understand it, but you have peace of mind. And that's what everyone's looking for, by the way. And as soon as you discover peace of mind, you'll realize, oh my goodness, I have everything. I don't need anything. So See, people want things added to them. You can't add anything to yourself. Well, maybe muscles, but...
Isn't that what they call nirvana?
Well, yes, absolutely. And you can reach those things without being dead. Hmm. You know, most people are waiting for peace of mind. And you... Oh, jives the head of all. When I used to do funerals, I guess... I turned them into something, I'll tell you. Because what do people always say? Well, now he's at peace. Now he's at peace. You have to die to be at peace. You know. Now he's at peace. And of course, I also like they always, oh, he looked so peaceful lying there. You know, he's dead. You know.
How about till death do us part? You have to die to get out of the marriage.
Well, you don't get your. First of all, I don't think till death do you part. Oh, that's on this physical plane of action. I was explaining to somebody the other day who had an abandonment issue, which we'll work on that later. But the whole idea of if you are together now, and if we are together now in this room, we'll be together throughout eternity. Because souls that meet on this plane of action stay together. Why does that happen? It's the law of attraction. Pardon? Yes.
Common experience, common.
Birds of a feather flock together. So there's no issue with that abandonment. So you, well, you'll be surprised. You have to put up with me the rest of throughout eternity. I'm a big classroom in the sky.
And you have to put up with us.
Sounds like no exit, doesn't it? But anyway, you will. And this is this whole thing of law of attraction. Is there anyone here who, there's not much to tell you about the law of attraction, except that it does exist. You must know that it exists. You see, just like gravity, you know. Go ahead.
The reason I asked for this topic was just lately, several of the larger angelic realms, the information they seem to be filtering in that they want us to know is about having matching vibrations or being a vibrational match for something good to come to you. That's kind of why
I
threw it out there.
We're always vibrating at that level. And we change that vibration all the time. When we're happy, we vibrate at a higher vibration than when we're sad. So we're always working with vibrations. The law of attraction, like anything in the universe, works on vibration. This whole thing is vibrating. Everything, if you could see that this whole room is vibrating, that table's vibrating, but you see, we can't do that at the present moment because we only have these physical eyes. Because we're living on a physical plane. But the physical plane is not the only plane that you're on. So when I vibrate love to somebody, they vibrate that back to me, you see. But what usually happens, if somebody comes at you angrily, you start to vibrate their anger instead of vibrating love. And dissolving that right away. You have to dissolve that. You see? So, if you, anything that you want is a vibration. And that's in the law of attraction. And to use the law of attraction, you have to first know that it's there. And since most people have no idea that it's really there except for little things in our language which says, oh, like attracts like. People will say that, but they have no idea, you know, that that means across the board, you say. Two people get together and say, oh, well, like attracts like. They're both mean people. They're both lovely people. Have you ever noticed that, that mean people always are together?
Yeah.
They run in packs up and down the street. But they're always together. Mean people are always together. Do you see a mean person in this room? A mean person couldn't come into this room. If a mean person came into this room, they wouldn't stay very long. Why? Because there's no matching vibration. There's
that.
Pardon?
They'd be bored.
They would be bored. Well, it's not so much. It's not so much if they'd be bored. They would be frightened, and they would be pushed right out of this room. Because of their own fear. So we vibrate all the time, and we have to know that we vibrate. No. Does anyone in here know about their life force, and can you feel your life force? Do you realize you have a life force? Okay. Now, many people call it life force, or the chi, or the ki, or whatever you want to call it. We all have that in us. How many people have never felt that? You know, you feel it.
Would you explain it? So I don't know if I felt it.
You never felt it.
Okay. Is it like sex? I mean, I don't know.
Now he's going to tell us to get that. No, but the life force is in us, and it's a vibration. And you can make that happen inside of your body and bring that up. It's always here. And it's about locating about 2 inches below your navel. But you can make it spread out through your whole body. Now, you can do it by opening up your chakras. You can do it by all kinds of things. And you can come up the body with the chakras and so forth. That's what's called a kundalini experience. You know the kundalini?
Well, yeah, I take it. And sometimes it's so tiring. And then when you're done, you're like...
Well, yes.
And you've done all this physical work, but you're like full of energy.
Because the kundalini... lies at the very base of your spine down here. And you think of it as a curled snake. And you get that snake to move and come up through you, opening up your chakra. And we study the different chakras. I'm saying we. I don't know who that is.
Proverbial.
Yeah. Down here, but we happen to have chakras in the palms of our hands. We have chakras all kinds of places that most people don't talk about and they don't seem to use, but you can open that all up. So now if everyone would stand up a moment, we're going to find that life force. Now to find that, you have to just stand up and relax and let your shoulders go. Okay? Now, from here, starting here, start to vibrate just a little, but make your hands vibrate. You know, just make your hands vibrate. Now, can you start to feel any tingling sensation in your hands? And can you look at your hands and see that they're turning blotchy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the key energy. That's your life force coming up. And you can get that going to where you can feel it, and you can get that energy pushing back and forth here. But that's all that is. Is that's key energy. Can you feel it? Can everyone feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's no, see, now stop and watch your hands tingle. That's the life force in you. That's your key energy coming up through you. And you can open that up anytime you want. Do that in the morning for yourself. You can get so big with the energy ball here in front of you.
That's what I do when I'm performing, is in the wings just before going on. I'm doing this, and I can feel the ball so that when I step out on stage, it explodes and washes over the audience.
Yeah. So use that and feel that inside and use it. Feel that inside of you so that you know. We talk about the life force. We talk about this, and I see so many people just sit there and never feel anything. It's more than your heart beating. It's more than that. There absolutely is.
I gotta go, sorry.
Now I'm getting the secret.
I think I got it.
So we'll be back next week.
Yeah. People know that they're alive and they can feel their heartbeat or maybe the blood pulsing through them. Your pulse, by the way, is not your life energy. Your pulse occurs because your heart is beating. You can bring that up all the time, and you can keep that energy. Do you use it for healing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can use it for healing. You can use it for what you want. So that is a vibration, and you get that vibration to work. But since we're not taught that that exists, you see, we don't use it. But it's there to use. All these things are there to use. And now that you know that that's a vibration, that you have that vibration within you, and that we're always vibrating, that everything is vibrating, we can attract to us what we want through a vibration. And the vibration that we get in the law of attraction is you have to find the vibration, the corresponding vibration, okay, to wealth. What did you think about wealth? Did you imagine? Did you picture different things?
Well, you know, I did an exercise from that book, Asking If It's Given, called The Prosperity Game, and I did that, and that just sort of like blew open my mind as far as wealth consciousness, and it's like a lot of stuff has been happening, you know. Jeff and I went to the seminar on Saturday, and like Jeff had like got like all this information and the stuff, and there was like one thing that I was really interested in that wasn't part of this package. We went out and talked to a guy in the parking lot, and the guy says, you know, I don't need this. They gave me two. If you guys want it, this is like a $200 pack of information. And just like he just gave it to us. It was like, it was amazing. But this prosperity game, can I just tell what it is real quickly?
You may.
Okay. It's from this book, Ask and It's Given. And what you do is you create your own bank account on paper, basically. And the first day you deposit into your bank account $1,000. And then you mentally spend that money the same day on paper. You don't go out and spend it, but you spend it on paper. You know, it's like, well, if I, you know, I have $1,000 to spend today, and I have to spend it today, I'm going to buy this, 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 and this, and this, and this. The next day, the second day, you deposit $2,000, and you do the same thing. You buy more stuff, anything you want, $2,000 worth. And the third day, you spend I made it through like 7 days, and like I'm like, I didn't need anything else, and I stopped playing the game. But I mean, you're supposed to actually play this game for like 300 days. If you can imagine, you know, day 259, you're depositing $259,000. And trying to, and it's just like it really does open up your mind. Like, how would you spend it? What would you spend it on? What do you want? What don't you want?
I was just going to add. What I'm happy to hear you say. You stopped at 7,000. You didn't tell me that earlier. Yeah, I stopped at 10,000, and it, for me it worked that way. And then at the, you know, the last few days, I went, there's nothing I need or want. I have everything. I can't spend this money. I have everything. I mean, I was going through catalogs trying to pick out stuff to buy.
It's like the movie Brewster's Millions.
It was like Brewster's Millions. I could, you know, I had to go buy the stamp and have it canceled. canceled, you know, the $50,000 stand. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you wind up doing. So
yeah.
It's a great game to do. It really, you know, it really makes you, I mean, it's hard to do. You sit there and go, the first couple of thousand, you're having fun. And then you get into $5,000-$6,000, and it's like difficult to spend all at once.
You have to, that's how you build a prosperity consciousness, by stretching it. And you have to stretch it. You have to be able to see that. I know people that spend $9,000 a day. Now, how they do that is beyond me. And then the other day, I was absolutely taken aback when they said that Michael Jackson is $280 million in debt. You see? Now, you have to be able to stretch your mind, your consciousness, to encompass that. And when you're able to do that, then more comes into your life, you see. Most people say, oh, well, this is the comfort zone that I'm in, you see. You have to break out that comfort zone. You're the one that's building your prosperity consciousness, and you've built it this way.
I just want to add that book, Ask It Is Given, its main theme is raising your vibration. That's all it's about.
It's always raising your vibration.
I used to, years ago I did a kind of a series that was based on these books, and so for each book, like notebook, I created these collages of things that, phrases or things that I wanted, and I found over time, and I've actually been collecting pictures to do a house phrase, and what I had thought of doing was like the poster with this or better, you know, different things, because I found when I did a collage, it was easier for me to see, you know, what it was I really liked, whether it was a blouse or an experience or whatever, and almost all of them just sort of happened, you know, or so, you know, and I knew that it was just attracting it and all of that, but it was like I didn't have to put a whole lot of extra effort into those things coming into my life at that point. Once I had them out there, they were much more real to me. So I've been thinking, and actually we have this second bedroom, and I've been thinking about plastering the closet doors with posters of this or better for different aspects of life.
Yeah, you do. Now, this just happened. Things do not just happen. Is there such
thing? I was being facetious.
I know. A chance or accident. Not volunteering it up for vocabulary. We don't do that. Also,
yeah.
We do not become amazed.
We are amazed.
It's a normal thing. You must look at it as being normal. Every time something happens, you're amazed because you say it's not normal. Your mind's saying it's not normal. Everything is a miracle. Miracles are happening all the time. There's nothing amazing going on.
But we're grateful.
Pardon?
But we are grateful.
Oh, my God, yes. We're always grateful. You have to live in gratitude.
Mm-hmm. So a miracle is just something that you've made happen?
Oh, yes. A miracle is always what you made happen, and they're always happening all the time. You have to get over the idea. Oh, I'm going to get into trouble.
Uh-oh.
Let me see if I can get this. You have to get over the idea . Well, this is the only way I can say it. Thank God that girl isn't here. You have to get over the idea that God is doing something.
That's not that horrible.
It is to the uninitiated.
You're doing it. Why are you doing it? Why are you able to do it? Why do I say something like that?
Because we are. Yeah.
Yes. And you have to keep reminding yourself of that. All that I am is God. But I am not all that God is.
You could think of it, if you think of it as the person, the figure in the sky, he's a really good delegator.
Yeah. If you think of a person.
If you think of it that way.
You can make God anything you want, by the way. You know that. The church made God all kinds of things. None of them are true. But to do that, you make God.
If we embrace the concept that Jesus was a divinity and that we are divine, is there a distinction between our divinity and his?
Absolutely not. Get that out of your head, please.
And it's not a question of
God. Jesus was not a special person. Jesus was not the Messiah. Jesus was not a savior, although he saved. Jesus was the begotten Son of God, the same way that we are the begotten sons and daughters of God. God shows no favorites. So you cannot say that Jesus was favored by God. What made Jesus stand out was his ability to gain what they call a Christ consciousness. That's all that happened to the man. And he studied with the Essenes. He was in India and studied. And he was able to control his mind so that the world didn't grab him all the time and shake him to shit the way it does us. But that's, you have to know that you're just as divine and as great and as good as Jesus. You have to know that.
And under given circumstances, equally is capable of performing those miracles.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Jesus himself said, you can do this and better or more. Mm-hmm. It's the church that says you can't. You most certainly can. And that's what Jesus was teaching, that you can do it also.
And should.
I hate the word should, you know.
Okay.
Because if you say you should, you take the choice out of it.
I see.
You have to use the word would or could, but never should. Remember? We never use should, because then you're shoulding on yourself.
What is the difference between the vibrations, and you were talking about the heart, and what was that book that you mentioned about the heart? That's
Heart Math.
Heart.
Heart what?
Math, M-A-T-H.
Thank you.
What was I doing? Well, the heart beats, and the heart has the brain, and the heart does all that, but the heart is not your life force. You're not going to take your heart with you, kid.
You were saying the pulse, which is just the blood moving forward.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's just the blood moving forward. Your pulse has nothing to do... Oh, let me see.
Yeah.
Well, you're in the medical field. They use the pulse as a gauge of life.
To see how fast your heart is pumping.
Right. But your pulse has nothing to do with your life. This, which I just explained to you, this vibration, this life force that's in you, has all to do with your life. You could have, and you've probably seen this, they can't explain sometimes why somebody's still alive. Because they've learned how to use their life force, not their heart, their brain, and the rest of the stuff. Now they're learning that slowly. People are learning that. In Ayurvedic medicine, they don't use these pulses at all. They use 7 internal pulses to figure out how healthy you are. You see, just a difference in things. But when we leave this vehicle, the heart and stuff will stay. The life force goes with you. Makes sense?
That's where the 21 grams thing comes from.
Exactly. Do you know that story? The 21 grams?
Yeah.
That's all. That's missing. Okay. Makes sense? No? You know?
I don't know the story.
Tell him the story.
Well, my understanding of it is that when they've been able to measure, when they've been able to weigh people before and after death with a very, 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 very refined scale, they found that when a person dies, there is a weight loss that is almost always consistently 21 grams. And they've said that's the soul, the life energy, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever you want to call it.
That would be the mass equivalent of the life energy.
And that's about, I think somebody said it's like a pack of cigarettes, it's about that weight.
Oh, I didn't know.
Something like that.
It's
small enough that they had to get to a level of technology to be able to measure things like that. So that's why they made the movie 21 Grams.
But all this that we talk about is very tiny and is very small and has no weight to it whatsoever. You say spirit has no weight to it. Did you ever hold a spirit? There's no weight there. But we think everything has to have weight and has to have all these things. That's only on the physical plane. It doesn't happen anywhere else. On the other planes of action. And there are many planes of action, by the way. But we'll get into that some other time, too. have I confused anyone?
Yes, and thank you.
Only our minds.
Are you confused?
No, but in a good way. I mean, it's like it's making me think outside my
mind. That's what you want to learn to do, is think outside of the box that we're all in. That the box that we have allowed the world to put us in. Because of all the misinformation that we are given, and we think that that misinformation is real. And that misinformation is not real. So when you're doing anything, you have to always start with the premise that you are some part of this universe, that you are some part of this God, and that all things are possible for you. All things are possible. There isn't anything that you cannot do if you decide to do it. And make up your mind you're going to do it. The universe will back you up in it. I loved your statement last week from Mary Baker Eddy. A sin is only a sin as long as you believe in it. Only a sin. As long as you... Now, doesn't that make absolute sense? It's all done in your belief system. As soon as you change your mind, the sin's gone.
So when you're attracted to someone, is it really your soul saying that person's vibrating with you?
Well, yes, something is vibrating. When you're attracted to somebody, it's vibrating.
It has vibrating.
On some people. yes, there's that attraction. Don't you ever meet somebody and instantly you like them and instantly you know, and you don't have to fill in the details, you don't have to fill in the background or anything, you just know the person.
Kurt Vonnegut says you're from the same caress.
Yes. Yeah, and it just, and you don't have to do that. All right, now in winding up, I wanted to say something. So we have these different laws, and we can go through them all. I tried to find in my library, and I must have lent it to somebody, there's a book out of all the laws in the universe, the immutable laws of the universe, and I'm sure it's written by Frederick Bales, and I will try to get a copy of that. I lent it out somewhere. So anyway, what I want you to know is this umbrella that we talk about, everything has to be underneath the umbrella of love. Has to be underneath the umbrella of love. Now, also underneath that umbrella is forgiveness. And I don't know how I can explain it to you, that that is one of the most important things to learn, is to learn to forgive. You went to the magic castle. You went to the magic castle. If you can learn to forgive, it's magic happens. Because as soon as you learn to forgive, that thing changes and it no longer exists. As you do with your childhood, you do it with anything, you forgive all that stuff. It completely changes you and everything else. That's the magic of forgiveness. You see. So learn to do the forgiveness. And then the love. We talk about love all the time. Love is always there. Love is everywhere. God is love. Blah, 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 blah. All that stuff. You have to forgive to get all this stuff to work for you. You see? But the ego mind wants to hold on to everything and doesn't want to forgive anything. You forgave your parents the other week, didn't you? And didn't magic happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had already done it by the time it came out, but the point is the same.
Yes. You had forgiven. And the magic happens when you forgive. So if there's anything in your life that you haven't forgiven, and what's the main thing to forgive?
Yourself.
Oh, thank goodness you got that. You have to forgive yourself. You can never hold anything against yourself. Why is that? You know. Why is that?
It separates you.
Well, because you're God.
Separates you from the experience of being.
You have to forgive yourself. And start seeing yourself. Start seeing yourself as the radiant beings that you truly are. You have to see that in yourself. And know that. You see. I happen to know that about you people. Why do I know that about you people? Because these eyes that I use with love. And when I can see through the eyes of love, all I see is radiant beings. And I choose to do that with my own mind. I don't wait for a radiant being to walk in here and then say, oh, I think I'll look at that radiant being. I decide that I am seeing a radiant being now. And you people are radiant. And you're wonderful. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you. The sign-in sheet up there is a basket for going to Dallas's class. And he's available for privates. If you'd like. They're wonderful. I've got them. Several people in here have. And
sorry,
if anybody needs any tapes of this class or last class or whatever classes, let me know. And I got one for you.
And
I
need to get it out. Did you find it? I do have to listen to
that. I have so many people. I have handouts for you.
Handouts.
And these handouts are little affirmations that will help lift your vibration and your rhythm. Okay.
God bless you. Thank you.
So you can either have last week and the week before, or 2 weeks and 3 weeks ago.
Where do you think I mean?
Oh.
Where's your body? What do I say?
What are you doing? I mean, you've been here for the last 3 weeks, right?
I'm not sure how, but this is
more like last week's again.
I'll be honest with you.
But one of the things that I realized when I was going to say, it's a new day.
Well, here, why don't you take the earlier two, and that way, next week, if you want, you can have two. That's what I did. I mean, I like it. It doesn't take long. 2 days. It's a good book, and there's lots of, there's like 22 years. That's kind of just given.
Sure.
Well, now having
stop.